Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome you very warmly to this family service, and I would like you to take a moment to welcome those around you and to say hello to them. Find out who they are. Just as a reminder, this morning in our family service, we will be continuing the theme of the upside-down kingdom of God, how in God's economy, things can be a little topsy-turvy. In January, we looked at the parable of the workers in the vineyard and the saying, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. This morning, we are going to look at how God can achieve amazing things through us. And the fact that though the world understands success in terms of wealth and power and beauty, none of these matter in order for God to do something, in order for God to do wonderful things through us. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Let's begin by singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that because you are always with us, we have nothing to fear. That we can meet with you and one another this morning as we are. And that nothing in this universe can separate us from your love. And we give you praise and thanks that by coming together with our hearts and minds focused on you, you bind us together. Even though we might be in very different places in this journey of life. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Teach us that although your ways are very different from ours, you yearn for us to be an integral part of all that you would do, an integral part of your kingdom on this earth. Remind us also that in both big and small ways, whatever they may be, all of us have some part to play. Not to compete with each other, not to stand out above the rest, but in order to serve you and to serve our neighbors. That your kingdom may come on this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for all that we will do this morning. Thank you for all that we will learn. Thank you that all of us can be a part of this service, that we can raise our voices, our hearts, and our minds to you. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit may fill this place, that your Spirit may fill our hearts with your presence, that you may bind us together in love. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Peter has mentioned, we're continuing our theme of looking at the aspects of the kingdom of God that seem upside down to us. And today, we're going to find out about a man called Gideon. Now, Gideon lived at a time after Moses had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and into the wilderness for 40 years. He lived after Joshua had led the Israelites into the promised land. In fact, he lived about 300 years after the Israelites had been in the Promised Land. And during that time, the Israelites had turned away from God. They'd started putting other gods first. They'd started worshipping other gods. And that's the first thing that God had commanded them that they mustn't do. And because they'd started worshipping other gods, God had allowed another tribe, the Midianites, to invade the Promised Land. And the Midianites were so cruel to the Israelites that the Israelites fled to the mountains. But as God always does, he had a plan. And that plan involved Gideon. So let's see if we can meet up with Gideon and find out a bit more about him. Now, we need to pretend it's night time because Gideon had something to do, but he was scared. So he had to do it at night. Gideon, are you there?
Who's that?
Oh, it's Colin from New Haven. I wonder, can we have a word?
Well, okay, but we'll need to make it quick.
First of all, what are you doing?
Well, you'll never believe this, but an angel of the Lord appeared to me.
And what did he say? Well, sorry, but you don't look much like a mighty warrior.
Well, you're right. I don't look like a mighty warrior. But I don't see the funny side of it. In fact, I was terrified, just like I am now. You see, I come from one of the smallest and weakest families in the whole of Israel. And I'm the weakest and most insignificant person in the family. So, I think the angel is having a laugh when he called me Mighty Warrior.
Well, let's just wait and see about that. But what did the angel then say?
He said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. And I said, how can I? Of the week. And then God said, not just the angel, but God himself said, I will be with you.
Wow.
And he said, don't be afraid.
But what are you doing here at night?
Well, God told me to cool down this altar to the fallen gods that my father had built and build a new altar to the Lord our God. So that's what I'm doing here.
And did he ask you to do it at night?
No! But I was afraid everyone would see it was me. So I decided to do it at night so that no one would see me.
Well, Gideon, thanks for your time. You'd better get back to what you were doing before the sun comes up. So, that was Gideon. Not very impressive, was he? The weakest person in the weakest family in the whole of Israel. And yet God chose him to be the mighty warrior. And we see this throughout the Bible, don't we? God choosing an unlikely person to be a hero for him. Abraham, Moses, the boy David, the disciples, you and me. Each of these heroes for God, the thing that matters is not what they bring other than their faith. They're all heroes of faith because it's not their own strength or their own wisdom or their own power, because God supplies all of these things. And so it is with us. No matter how weak, how small, or how scared we are, God can use us. And we're going to sing now a song that all the kids know very well because we've been singing it for months and months. So I want all the kids to come out. And the song is, Our God is a Great Big God. So everyone who can, come out and we'll sing this song and we'll do the actions. And those who don't need to come out, you can still do the actions because they're very, very easy.
Okay, children, could you just stay out here? Now, I need everyone to be sitting kind of back the way of it. So could you go back the way a bit? Right back a wee bit, side hop, that's great. Now, we're going to do a couple of experiments, all right? Now, experiments either go right or they go wrong. So, we're going to see how we get on. Now, I've got two bits of green cellophane. Do you see that? I'm going to put it down on the floor. I'll just put the one here. And you will put one there. Now, I think I'm supposed to have a kind of thing as well. So maybe I should get this thing from here. I'm not going to use it yet. But I suppose I have to put a glass on. This is the problem when you can't see properly. You have to get your glasses on for certain things and certain not things. Right, okay. So I've got two bits of green cellophane. And I've got two bits of fleece. Okay. Sorry? Right. You don't have to watch the screen, you guys. Okay, don't watch the screen because it's just for the adults to see. You are going to see the real thing in front of you. Now, I'm going to put two bits of fleece here. Now, we're going to do an experiment, and I wonder if you think it's going to work or not. Right. I want to pour. Whoa! This one's full. Okay. Right, this bit here, I want to pour around. Okay? So we'll pour around. We'll hope there's not going to be too much mess. Now, I'm not going to touch the fleece because the experiment is, if I pour it around on this grassy cellophane, will the fleece get wet? I'm not going to touch the fleece. So what do you think? Do you think it'll get wet? You think so? Right, and the next experiment is, if I just pour the fleece, the water on the fleece, and make it really wet, do you think the green gilt will get wet? You do? It's an experiment. You're not supposed to say yeah. But okay, let's try. I'm going to make the fleece really wet, okay? But I'm not going to go into the green bit, just... Oh, well, I can help that bit. Oh. Right, this is the experiment, okay? So I've got a really nice wet fleece here. It's really wet. And I've got a dry fleece there, but I've got the water on the cellophane. In fact, I've got quite a lot of water there too. But never mind. So, do you think... This is the wet fleece. Do you think the cellophane will be dry underneath? Do you think it will be wet? You know, somebody not think it will be dry. No? You think it's going to be wet? Okay, right. Let's have a look. Oh. Oh. Do you want to touch it? Just a couple. Okay. Right, that's enough. Okay. That's enough. You can tell it's going to be wet. Right. Okay. So you thought that was going to happen, did you? I'm disappointed that you all thought it was going to happen. An experiment, surely, if we don't know the result. Now, this one, we had the cellophane wet, and we had the fleece dry. Do you think the fleece is going to be wet or not? You do? Really? Ooh. Well, you're right there. Thank you. Didn't do my job properly enough. It is wet. If I put it a bit more, it is. So basically, if I'd left it long enough and did it properly enough, it would have been wet. Well, that's the experiment. So you thought... You weren't impressed with that experiment, were you not? There is. There's things later on. Were you not impressed with that experiment? Did you know it was going to work? Right. You may be saying to yourself, listen, Colin was telling us the story about Gideon. So you may be saying... What on earth has that got to do with the story of Gideon? Now, Ewan is going to read a verse from the Bible, and I want you to listen carefully, because Gideon had been told by the angel of God that he was going to get an army to fight the Midianites. And Gideon said, me? I'm not strong enough. I can't possibly fight the Midianites. He was a pretty scaredy guy, wasn't he? He even pulled down the idols at night. So how is he a warrior? But God said, I want you to lead the Israelites. I want you to defeat the Midianites. But Gideon said, I can't do it. Now, listen to what Ewan's going to say.
Then Gideon said to God, you said you would help me save Israel. I will put some wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the wool, but all of the ground is dry, then I will know that you will use me.
Right, well, we know. It wasn't possible, was it? We tried it. But look what happened. There we are. The fleece was soaking wet, and the ground around was dry. Our fleece was pretty wet, but so was our cellophane. Well, you think that would show Gideon that God was with him, and he had God's power, and he was going to be able to do it. You think that would have been enough for Gideon, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I would have. I mean, after all, God had done something amazing. We couldn't do it, but God had done it. But listen to the next verse Ewan's going to read.
Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me if I ask just one more thing. Please make let me make one more test. Let only the wool be dry while the ground around it gets very wet with dew.
Only the wool be dry when the ground around it gets very wet with dew. I didn't do that very well. But if I had, it wouldn't have worked. But look, there's Gideon with a completely dry fleece. And the dew, the wet, was all around. What was impossible for us to do, God had done. Now that was two tests that Gideon had given God. Do you think that was right to do that? Why did God do it? Why did Gideon do it, test God? Was it right for Gideon to test God? Any ideas? You're right. And you know what? I looked up in the Bible last night. It was Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in fact, Jesus also said, do not test the Lord your God. And there was Gideon giving God a test, saying, go and do this for me. Totally impossible, but go and do this so I'll really know you're going to be with me. Was Gideon testing God? Or was he just asking for more encouragement or confirmation that God was really going to be with him? I don't know. What was Gideon doing? You see, the Bible uses real people. The people in the Bible aren't perfect. So sometimes they don't do things in the perfect way. And Gideon's method was right. His motive was right. Because he wanted to obey God. He wanted to do what God told him to do. And God had told him to... What was God telling him to do? Yeah, to save the Israelites. So Gideon wanted to do what God said, but he had a bit of doubts, and he just wasn't too sure. So his method was a bit, maybe not the best way. Do you know, sometimes we can be like that too. We don't know what God wants us to do, but you know, we've got the whole Bible. Gideon, the book of the Bible, Judges, which is the story of Gideon, is only about the fifth or sixth Bible. So Gideon didn't know very much of the Bible at all. We've got the whole Bible, and that's the way that God usually guides us. He guides us through the Bible. But we've got to read it, haven't we? We can't expect him to guide us through the Bible if we don't read it. And we've got to listen to him speaking to us. And we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to us. We've got to have all these things. Was Gideon really sure? Or was he just saying, oh, please, God, just help me to be a bit more sure? I don't know. But Gideon knew that once he'd done the test, once God had showed him, he was definitely with him, and Gideon could be bold and sure because he knew that God was with him. We're going to sing a song. Can anybody guess what it is? Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. And that's the song we're going to sing because we can be sure that God is with us. When he wants us to do something, he's with us. And we're going to do the actions. You're right. I'm going to give this back to Hugh because I can't do two things. Gideon knew that God was going to be with him. So he blew his trumpet and he called all the people around to follow him because they were going to defeat the Midianites. And he sent messengers to all the tribes of Israel to come, and they were going to defeat the Midianites. Do you think people came? No. What do you think? Well, they did. They did. There was a huge load of people coming. So big that I don't think you can get your head around it. So big I couldn't get my head around it. But I've asked some people to come and help. And they're going to stand in the front here. So can some of them help? Who've got my army? I've got some adults. Do you see, there were 32,000 people. So if you adults can stand in the front here somewhere. Watch, there's a bit of water there. How big is 32,000? It's really, really big. Do you see all these circles that are drawn here? Each page, if you put your page up, is 2,000. And I know because I drew them. Would you like to hold one up? How many 2,000s? Finlay, how many 2,000s are in 32,000? Any other bigger ones? You and Finlay, Ailey. How many sheets of paper do we need for 32,000? kitty. 16, right, okay? Right, okay, you guys stand at the front. You are part of this army. Now look at them. 16, I was doing this on the train last week. There's this guy who was opposite me, and he was got a computer, high-tech stuff, and I was drawing circles. And he said, "What are you doing?" So I started to tell him the story of Gideon. He was quite surprised. Right. So once you get into the swing of it, it's actually quite easy to draw. This was the army. Boys and girls, do you see that army? It's huge. Absolutely massive. Do you think God was really pleased with Gideon? I mean, 32,000. Look at that huge army. What a lot of people. Do you think he was really pleased? I'm going to get Ewan to read out a verse again. And we're going to listen. Listen to what Ewan says.
Then the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men to defeat the Midianites. I don't want the Israelites to boast that they saved themselves. So I now announce to the people that anyone who is afraid may leave and go back home."
Wow! So God said to Gideon, "You've got too many men." Gideon had spent ages trying to get all the men. He's got, look at all these, oh, what a huge amount of people. 32,000. And God said, "Gideon, you've done too well. You've got too many. You've got too many." Why? Did anybody hear why Gideon had too many men? Apart from Ewan. Why did God have too many men? Gideon have too many? Yeah, that's right. Because if they won the battle against the Midians, they would say, "Hey, aren't we brilliant? Aren't we brilliant?" And God said, "No, that's not the way I want to do it." So God told Gideon to send anybody who was afraid home. How many people do you think were afraid? Do you think a few of them might have been afraid? They're big, strong men. They shouldn't be afraid, should they? Well, quite a lot of them were afraid. Let's get some of them back. Can I have your one? Can I have your one, Fraser? No, I need it. That's good. You come and sit down, because I want you. There's lots of things to do. 22,000 were afraid. 22,000. So how many sheets do I have to collect? 2,000 in each sheet. How many sheets? Who can tell me? 11. Right, I've got two. 1, 2, 3. You can go and sit down. 4. You can go and sit down. 5. 6. Ellie? There's lots of fun things you're going to do. 7, 8, 9, 10. Please, can I go? 11. Right, so look, our army's much smaller now, isn't it? We've got 10,000 left. Still quite a lot of people. And Gideon thought, well, 10,000. It's about a third of my army. But God, this is a quote that I found somewhere last week. Self-sufficiency is an enemy when it causes us to believe that we can always do what needs to be done in our own strength. You see, God wanted Gideon and the Israelites to realize that he was going to give them the strength. He was going to give them the power. So, he wanted to get the army even smaller. Even smaller than 10,000. Now, he had 32,000 to start with. We've gone down to a third. So, I'm going to ask that army to stand at the side, if you don't mind slightly. We'll keep them there, but they're standing at the side. And I want you guys to be the soldiers. Now, Gideon had a test for the soldiers to do, the men. He said, listen to me first. Oh, you've got to listen. Soldiers cannot succeed unless they listen and obey. So don't do anything until I tell you. And Colin's going to be here for the crowd control because we're going to do this very carefully. It could work or it could not work. Gideon said to the men, you listening? I want you to go down to the river. You're the men, so listen to me. I want you to go down to the river. This is the river. And I want you to take a drink. Okay? That was all he said. He said to Gideon, tell your men to go down to the river and take a drink. Now, there's plenty of bowls. And listen, what I want you to do, don't do it yet. Don't do it yet. Listen, I want you to take a drink and then I want you to go to the back so that everybody can have an opportunity to take a drink. All right, so just take one drink and then go to the back. Then go to the back. Right, okay, that's it. Once you've had a drink, go to the back. All right, those of you who've done it, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Okay, take a drink and then go to the back. You put your whole head in, did you? That's all right. You don't have to either. You sit here. Just if you want to. Right. Verity and Sophie, do you want to do it? No? Right. I don't know if you saw that. Can you sit down, guys? I did this at Footprints last week. So that's why some people did it right. So, when the soldiers went down to the river, most of the soldiers went like this and went just like a dog. But some soldiers went like this. Now, God said to Gideon, the soldiers that went like this were ready. They were ready to do anything. And he said, these are the men that we are going to use to defeat the Midianites. Now, all of you guys who did it, I think only Ewan went like that. And Ailey. And you too, I wondered about you. Right, okay. So a few of you did like that, but the rest of you were like exactly like the men in Gideon's army. They went, now. So these people had to go home. Let's see. Most of them had to go home. In fact, you can go. All these people lapped it up like a wee doggy. All these people. All these people. Whoop. And we're left. Look at the tiny amount of the army that we're left with. Out of all these 32,000, we are left. The red bits are the men that were left. I've coloured them red. There was only 300. Only 300 men were left. So out of the 32,000, the 16 sheets we had, we've only got one tiny wee corner that were left. That's right. 300, but there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Midianites. But God just wanted 300 men. Let's have a look at our next picture. Oh, that's right. So Gideon divided the men into three lots of 100. Put your hands down now. And you can see what they've got in their hands. They've got a jar and they've got a flaming torch. And Gideon said, I want you to put that torch into the jar. And you see his kind of trumpet, it's a horn on his waist. He said, now, we're going to divide your men up. And at night time, we're going to surround the Midianite camp. Now, Gideon only had 300 men. Do you think he would be bold and strong? Do you think he was feeling bold and strong? No, you're not very sure, are you? No. Well, there's a bit in the story I wasn't going to tell you, but God said to Gideon, you can go down to the Midian camp. And you can spy on them. And that's what Gideon did before he did any of this. He went down and he went outside a tent and he heard two people speaking. And they said, I had a dream last night and I saw a barley loaf, imagine a loaf of bread, coming rolling into my tent and knocked it down. A strange dream. And the other man said, I think that dream means that Gideon's army is going to win. And when Gideon heard that, he thought, yes, God is going to do it with my 300 men. God was very gracious to Gideon. God helped Gideon each step of the way. So look at them. There they are with their torch and their trumpet. And Gideon said, I want you to surround the camp. 100 is to go around this side. 100 of you go around that side. And the last 100 stay with me and we'll take the back. And he said, when I give the sign, he said, I want you to pull your torches out. I want you to blow your trumpets hard. And I want you to shout, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. That's what they had to do. So that's exactly what they did. They went round the camp in the middle of the night when it was dark. The Midianites were all sleeping. And when Gideon gave the sign, they took their torches out. They blew their trumpets as hard as they could. And they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And do you know this? the Midianites woke up and they were so confused. It was the middle of the night. You'd be confused if you woke up in the middle of the night. And they saw all these lights and they heard all that noise, the sound of trumpets, the sound of people shouting, and they thought, oh my goodness, look at this huge, massive army surrounding our camp. Do you know what they did? They just wanted to get out as soon as they could. And they ran as fast as they could. They fled, tripping over tent pegs, tripping over each other. They ran away. And that was how God used Gideon with all God's power to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon's army didn't even have a sword on them. And these massive, huge army of Midianites all ran away. Now, do you know this? God has got a job for us to do. What has frogs got to do with the story of Gideon? What has frogs? Now, some people who know me will know I love frogs. Right? Ewan, what does F-R-O-G stand for? Fully rely on God. There we are. Fully rely on God. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to fully rely on God. But, right, why is the frog on there? It doesn't make sense. Right. Fully rely on God spells frog. Oh, yeah. So if I say you've got to frog it, that means you've got to fully rely on God. You see, God has got a work for us to do. God has got a work for our church to do. But how can we do it? What have we got to do? Frog it. We've got to say it. Fully rely on God. You see, there was a disciple called Peter. And one day, Jesus came walking to him on the water. And Peter got out of the boat. If we never get out of the boat like Peter, we'll never be able to rely on God's strength. We'll never see God's power at work. And if we don't see God's power at work, we won't rely on his power. So we've got to be like Peter. We've got to get out of the boat and we've got to see God's power at work and rely on him. We've got to frog it. What does it mean? Fully rely on God. Right, I'm going to pass to Peter now. Just sit here for a second.
Well, I've been asked to do a 30-second summary. And this story that we've just heard about reminds me of two lines that are in a different book completely, or books, if you like. When I was looking at what was going on here, and when I was hearing Christine teach us, it reminded me of a psalm. Can anyone guess which psalm I'm going to talk about? Psalm 23. There are two lines in that psalm that are very important. And the first one is, the Lord's my shepherd. And the second is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the second line. And I'm sure a lot of these guys thought that's exactly what they were going to be walking through. They mean a lot because they've taught me that in this life, and because of God and God's presence, I or we, as a people, as a family, as a congregation, never have to fear anything. What we have to do is let the words we read about and the stories we read of God's presence work in us. So in short, what we are called to do is believe and let that faith, let that believing be a part of who we are, no matter who we are. And doing this in our lives makes a tremendous difference. And if you'll allow me to plug my next week's message, that is what we will be considering. But simply trusting in God drives away all the fear that we might have. Fear of doing things, fear of being things, all that gets driven away by God's presence. And when we know God's presence and we practice God's presence. We are going to now take up our offerings. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we praise you that day by day you are at work in our lives, often transforming them beyond all our expectations. We praise you for the way that at times, despite ourselves, you have called us to faith, breaking through our doubts, our stubbornness, our selfishness, our pride, all our fears, drawing us to Christ. Help us, Lord, to keep firm hold of the conviction that you can continue to change us, that whoever we are, whatever we do, whatever we face, nothing is outside the scope of your renewing power. Save us from ever losing sight of the fact of what you are able to do, from retreating into pessimism and fatalism and defeatism. Save us from forgetting all you can do. We become disheartened, expect nothing, attempt nothing, achieving nothing. Help us separately and together through our words and our actions to speak of how you have worked in us, so that in turn others may know your presence and your love. Lord, may we trust in you in this place, in this congregation, so that you and our brothers and sisters and our neighbors may be served well. Continue to work in us and change us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.